Today's prayer is adapted from one written by a Cleveland Indians fan. Oh, hear me, mighty and capricious gods of baseball. Grant our hitters patience and power. Grant our pitchers command. Grant our fielders agility. I think I speak for all of the people who weareth the orange and black when I say, please don't let 2010 be a fluke. Thank you for that storied World Series win. It was truly miraculous. It was you who saith unto me to move the rally rag from the left side of the couch to the right side, thus signaling Bochy to remove Jonathan Headcase Sanchez from game 6 of the NLCS, assuring our victory over the Phillies. I will always remember that. But is another good year too much to ask? Is it too soon? We may seem undeserving of your blessing, so many errors, so many runners left in scoring position. I cannot deny that many times this season we have sucketh. Yet there are signs that you will favor us again. You taketh away the bearded one, but few can hit Romo. You send him unto us, the one they call the milkman, to get many hits and break records. You have mired the freak in a plague of slump, but Vogie is having another good year. And of course, you bestowed a game of perfection upon the caner. I thank you for these things, but I will require more of you in the remaining weeks of the season. And just one last thing, gods of the diamond. Why do you hate the Cubs so much? Just wondering. Amen, blessed be, and say hey. I have a feeling that when Katie picked the August theme, I sought the wood in summer. She wasn't talking about baseball bats. But I'm going to pretend that I didn't know that. So much has been written about baseball. It is a much-loved, much-analyzed, long-time American tradition, and I have loved it all my life. Don't tell Betsy, but I grew up in L.A., and I bled Dodger blue. Dusty Baker patrolled left field in Chavez Ravine, and we called it Baker's Acres. That's where I sat as a child, and along with many other fans, tossed packs of bubble gum to him as he took the field. He was one of my favorite players. Dusty became the Giants manager in 1993, the year after I moved to the Bay Area, and because of him, I switched allegiances. So because of him, and because I don't think Scott would have married me otherwise, I now bleed orange and black. A friend once asked me why I like baseball so much. It actually took me a long time to come up with a good answer. But being asked helped me understand the appeal of the game that I've always taken for granted. On the one hand, baseball is a very thoughtful, contemplative game. The way the pitcher and the catcher slowly go about the business of deciding just the right pitch. The chess match between the managers. Should I take out the pitcher now in favor of this hitter who's had a great stats in this ballpark against lefties? If I put this guy on deck, will the other manager change pitchers? On the other hand, it's a game of quick reactions. Think of those outfielders who can stand around doing nothing for most of the game and then be called upon to streak across the field and make a diving backhanded catch. See Angel Pagan. Then, of course, there's the incredible skill required to hit a small sphere coming at you at 90-plus miles an hour with a narrow, round piece of wood. Some people say baseball is too slow, but to me, it's just right. The pace allows for the announcers to share information about the players, tell stories, and help me learn the history of the game. And it's a great game to watch with friends and family. Plenty of time for hanging out and enjoying the sunshine. And I think baseball offers many lessons for life. There are 9 innings in a regulation baseball game, so I will offer 9 lessons that we can all learn from baseball. It's the top of the first inning. First lesson, do not worship false idols. Despite what my inner child wants to believe, baseball players and other people in professional sports, for that matter, are not heroes. They are capable of amazing physical feats. They carry the hopes of many and perform under pressure. But they should not be our idols. Just when you start to worship a player, you found out he's been caught using steroids or cheating on his wife. As much as I love the game, I am the first to admit that the players are generally undereducated, immature egomaniacs who get paid way too much money for what they contribute in the world. So love baseball as I do. Cheer for these young athletes, but look elsewhere for heroes and remember how deeply flawed we all are. Second inning, failure. An excellent batting average is 300 out of 1,000, meaning even the best hitters fail 2/3 of the time. One team out of 30 gets to win it all. And every amazing pitcher gives up runs. And yet they keep at it, work to improve, and come out the next day with a fresh start. Failure is a part of life, but you pick yourself up and start again. No one bats 1,000. Forgiveness, the third inning. I guess all I really need to say is see Cubs fans. Or Giants fans, San Francisco Giants fans, prior to 2010. I learned a big lesson about forgiveness the night the Giants lost the lead in Game 6 of the 2002 World Series and couldn't come back the next night in Game 7. I was under the covers. I had left the television. I made Scott put all of our Giants memorabilia, hats and shirts, in a box in a closet out of my sight. This is a true story. I was despondent, and one of my friends said I need to see a therapist. Days later, I realized how ridiculous my reaction was. Okay, maybe it was more like months later. I know that if you love baseball, you have to move on to the next game, the next series, the next season. Just as if you love your friends and family, you have to forgive them too. Even my father, who continues to support the Dodgers. The fourth inning, humility. I read in the Sporting Green one morning after a Giants loss that, quote, baseball's ability to turn on a dime should never be underestimated. It's true. And the other night, Eric Burns, who a former Oakland A and now sportscaster, said, quote, this game is so screwy. You can do everything right and still not be able to reap the benefits. And sometimes you take a terrible swing or you make a terrible pitch and you get away with it, unquote. What an excellent metaphor for life. Life will humble a person, will it not? How many times have we put our best foot forward only to stumble, and then on another day we bumble into a success? And like the best ball players, it's best to stay humble through it all. We're in the fifth. The next lesson is about renewal. What do most baseball fans say after the season? There's always next year, right? There's always the hope that despite the incredibly crappy season, the next year will be different when your team takes their places on that green grass in April. Everything is new again, and all things are possible. What a great lesson to remember when you wake up on the morning after a terrible day at work, or after an argument with a loved one. Today will be different. All things are possible. Focus, inning number 6. The best pitchers stay focused, slow it down, and set the pace when runners are on base. The best hitters are disciplined, patient at the plate, and stay in the strike zone when they swing. And certainly, we all do better when we're focused and truly present in our daily tasks, in our careers, and in our relationships. Seventh inning, beware of counterfactual thinking. Counterfactual thinking is a term of psychology that describes the tendency of people to imagine alternatives to reality. Humans are predisposed to think about how things could have turned out differently if only, to imagine what if. The morning talk shows after a baseball game are full of this kind of talk. If he had pitched that one, if he had just pitched a slightly different pitch, or if he had just stayed in the strike zone, or if he had hit at that other pitch, it would have gone out of the park. It can be amusing, and it certainly fills the airtime, but it serves no one in the game of baseball or in the game of life. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. After the game, win or lose, it's time to move on. Well, it's the middle of the seventh inning, and you know what that means.
Yes, it's time for a seventh inning stretch. So all those who are able to, please stand. Seventh inning stretch. Okay. We have a sort of responsive reading here, which I'll start off with. You can join in as you wish. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. There's that religious fervor.
Have fun. The eighth inning. I personally believe that the Giants fans outdo all others when it comes to having fun at baseball games. There are not many ballparks in the country where you will see people dressed as milkmen and milkmaids, carrying signs that say they're gamer babes from Alaska, or people wearing pandas and giraffes on their heads. The best players are the ones who have fun while they play. And it's all a game, right? And life is best when it includes a little bit of levity every day. Well, we've reached the bottom of the ninth. It's time to talk about passion. So many baseball fans have so much passion for their team. Take this comment I heard one morning on KNBR. The man on the phone said, quote, "If Jesus were wearing Dodger blue and playing left field, and I was sitting in the bleachers behind him, and someone yelled, 'What's the matter with Jesus?' I would join in the chorus of 'He's a bum.'" I mean, that's passion, right? I mean, Jesus. There, you know, you see the players who pray and thank their God on the field, the players who cry and jump all over each other after a walk-off win. They have passion for the game. And if you're going to do something, do it all the way. Have passion in life. So baseball reminds me to choose my heroes wisely, move on from failure, forgive and forget, have faith, be present, avoid the woulda shouldas, enjoy life, and have passion. Can one learn these things in other ways? Of course. But this was my love song to baseball, my excuse to talk about the game I love. Thanks for sharing it with me.